Good. Well, happy new year. If you're visiting, I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I'm always really encouraged when I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I come back, and I discover that All Saints functions perfectly well without me. And as I've already said, this weekend is the 20th anniversary of my ordination. Now, actually, compared to Ted, where's Ted? He's over there. I'm a kind of spring chicken compared to Ted, because he's been ordained over 50 years. Is that right, Ted? There we are, amazing. So I should probably be about 100 or something by the time I get that far, if I ever get that far. But it's been a great 20 years, but by far the best time has been the last 7 years when I've been the vicar here. It's been a great privilege. And so though I've had a great time away, I'm genuinely glad to be back. I really love doing what I do here, but as most of you will know, I'm passionately a believer in the priest of all believers. In other words, that the body of Christ here has all the resources that it needs to do what God wants it to do. It doesn't need a priest at the front, because we're all priests, okay? The body of Christ is perfectly equipped, and so you don't always need the vicar to be doing everything. So you might wonder, what is my function here as vicar? Well, of course, I suppose I do all the usual vicary things, but pretty much I do things that other people can do. But there is something I believe that is specifically my function. And my function, I believe, is to give a lead, to cast a vision, to say, look, I've been thinking about this, I've been praying about this, this is where I think the Lord is leading us. Are you up for it? Now, of course, long before it gets to a sermon and I tell you about it, I've passed it past the leadership team here and I've taken advice and I've sought God about it. So hopefully by the time we get here, I'm on the right lines. And at the beginning of the year, I try to share where I believe the church is going to go the following years, as much as I know. So how about this year? Where is God leading us? Where do I believe God is leading us? What are we about as a fellowship of believers? And I hope you will agree with me that we are intended to be outward-looking. The phrase I always use is intentionally missional. And I'm going to, without apology, keep on using it because I believe that God's intention for us in this area has not changed. While I've been away, I've been reading a book by these guys. It's Alan and Deborah Hirsch. That's the book. It's called Untamed. It's a fantastic book. Alan Hirsch is one of my favorite authors. And actually, I heard him speak a few years ago at a New Wine Leaders Conference. And if ever there was a couple passionate about transforming a community, it's Alan and Deborah Hirsch. They work in what seems to be some of the most promising situations among people. I think they work in Canada, actually, now. They're from Australia, but I think they work in Canada. Among people who are poor, marginalized, people who identify strongly with the gay community. And many of them are addicted to drugs and alcohol. And Alan and Deborah bring the good news of Jesus Christ in a completely non-judgmental way without, at the same time, compromising in any way on biblical truth, which is quite a feat, isn't it? But they managed to do it. And this is what they say. We take the missional agenda of the church with the utmost seriousness. You simply cannot be a disciple without being a missionary, a sent one. For way too long, discipleship has been limited to issues relating to our own personal morality and worked out in the context of the four walls of the church with its privatized religion. In doing this, we have severely neglected our biblical mandate to go and make disciples. We have narrowed the gospel message to being just about us. Please hear us here. We don't want to neglect issues of personal morality. To strive for holiness and maturity in our own personal lives is extremely important, but it is only half the picture. The other half is our God-given responsibility to the world around us. The fact is, you can't be a disciple without being a missionary. No mission, no disciple. It's as simple as that. Amen. So when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, the first word is really important. Go. He didn't say, stay in the old amongst the All Saints Church family. If anybody turns up, you could disciple them. He says, go to them. Now, this church family is a lovely place to be. I love being part of this. But more and more, we're starting to go out. Because the Lord wants us to be salt and light out in our community. So God can use us to transform the community. That's our vision. It's on every notice sheet. You get it here. The All Saints' vision, to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. That's what we're about as a church. Now, we're not going to do that by turning everybody into social workers. Lovely people, social workers, but God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us, though, to be out and available to do what the Lord wants us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I had a wonderful example over Christmas. I was called out of the blue by a lady I didn't know who had moved to this area from Chandler's Ford. And she had her daughter in her 20s living with her as well. And it turns out this young lady, suffers from severe chronic fatigue syndrome. She could only be out of the house for about half an hour at a time. But she felt drawn to All Saints, which is a bit weird because neither of them, as far as I know, are Christians or churchgoers at all. But she felt drawn to All Saints. And she said, "Is this something we could offer?" So I chatted to her, and suddenly I realized that the thing that would really work for her would be Suzanne's art workshop, you know, the one in Commercial Road, and she also does the art class here on a Friday. So I called up Suzanne, and I said, "You know, do you think you can help this lady?" And Suzanne called her up, and they're in contact, and hopefully she'll be going along to the art workshop. And she's also really interested in breakfast at 9, and she's interested in Counter, which is our kind of contemporary worship evening once a month, happening this evening. Both very easy ways to access worship. And who knows what will happen? Can you see that just by our being available and reaching out, God draws people to himself through us. So the lives of individuals can and will be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It'd be very interesting to see what God does with that particular situation. Now, one thing I do at this time of year is I give you a clue about what we're going to be doing. And you've all got one of these. Big dates for 2018. Now, they're designed to enable you to put some key dates in your diary. So please do that. But most of the key dates that I've listed are about kind of reaching out. They're opportunities, you know. And I want to flag just a few of them up. 2 weeks' time, we've got little Adeline's dedication here. Now, it's going to be breakfast at 10, and Andy and Kat are bringing Adeline along. They're going to dedicate her to the Lord. It's just brilliant, really. The worship's being led by their friend Adam, who leads Encounter. And we're going to have breakfast, we're going to have bubbly, we're going to have cake and refreshments, and it's going to be great. And the last time we had one of these events was, I think, just a few months ago, September, I think, when I think Rose's grandson, Samuel, was being baptized. And somebody came up to me and said, "If church was like this, I'd come every week." So this is an opportunity. You know, why don't you invite people? Maybe they don't need to know Andy and Kat, although there are going to be lots of their friends there. It's going to be a really kind of relaxing, fun time, a really good way of accessing church. And we're going to be presenting the gospel as well. So think about coming along to that and bringing a friend. The next week, actually, the 4th of February, we've got this guy. He's a man called Andy Lester. He's from Arusha. If you've never heard of Arusha, it's a really great charity. It's a Christian charity. It's focused on the environment. And we've been thinking, particularly as a committee, we've been talking about focusing on and doing something about the environment. Now, I don't know about you. I'm a grandparent. I've got two little grandchildren. In fact, I just heard over Christmas I'm going to be a grandparent the third time, which is really fun, in June. Okay. Now, when you've got grandchildren, you think about the kind of legacy you're leaving them, you know? And, of course, it's not just Christians who are concerned about the environment. It's just full of people who are concerned about saving the planet. And this guy, Andy Lester, he's conservation director of Arusha. And Arusha is a really fantastic Christian organization. If you look at their website, it's got God all over it, but it's also wants to obey the creation mandate to look after and steward the earth we've been given. So, a great opportunity, 4th of February, and this coming. Again, people interested in the environment, invite them along. Invite them along. And then we've got the community cafe and car wash on the 24th of March, and we've got the fun day on the 9th of June. You might be interested to know that I'm marrying here a couple in June. They've not been part of church up to now, but they came along to see me because they wanted to marry. They were very clear they wanted to marry in All Saints. And most people who want to get married, they want to get married in Studden because it's so pretty. But no, they wanted to get married here, and they want to have their wedding reception here. And they said, "We've been to your fun day, and we want our wedding reception to be like your fun day. Isn't that fun?" So they're going to have a bouncy castle and entertainer and all that kind of thing. And so they started coming along. They have children already, actually, and they're coming along to breakfast at 9, which isn't it fun? So they were there this morning. So really great. And can you see how these opportunities are ways to draw people in? And then something else is happening on the 19th of May. Can anybody tell me what's happening on the 19th of May? It's not the cup. It is the cup final. Yes, it is the cup final. But these two are getting married now. Last time we had a royal wedding, we had a special lunch here. We had the place, it was full of bunting and decoration, and it was amazing. Now, I've got to put my hand on cards on the table. I'm not the biggest monarchist in the world, all right? I'm pretty relaxed about it all, really. But it was an amazing event because it was like being there. Was it, those of you, that it was like being there? So what happened was, it was up on the big screen there, and when the Queen came on, people applauded, spontaneously applauded. And then they put the words of the hymns up, so people joined in the hymns. And when they played the national anthem, everybody stood up. It was amazing. And then we had bubbly and cake and a celebration lunch. And we had loads of guests. People invited their friends, you see. And it was just amazing what connections we made there. And people were particularly amazed because it was all free. Okay? Because they said, "How much do we owe you?" We actually don't owe anything. It's free. So it just occurred to me, it would be great to do it again. What do you think about doing it again? Yeah? Yeah, fantastic. Great. Well, we've got a committee tomorrow night. We'll talk about it tomorrow night, which would be great. Can you see, there are lots of things going on this year, and the aim of almost everything we do is to reach out to our community, even the royal wedding. Okay, but none of this makes any difference if we aren't walking with the Lord. And Jesus calls us to make disciples, not church members or make sure there are bottoms on seats or anything like that. We can't do any of these things if we aren't being discipled ourselves. So I think the one word that is going to categorize this year is discipleship. Isn't that fun? Discipleship. How can we be more effective disciples of Jesus? And what does Jesus mean by discipleship? Now, you might think it's all about the rigorous application of disciplined spiritual exercises. And because the word disciple, discipline, it's the same word, root word in English. And there is a place for, you know, determined, disciplined stuff. I'm not knocking it. But I don't think that's where Jesus started when it comes to discipleship. And Alan and Deborah Hirsch are very helpful about this as well. And in their talk, they talk in their book, Untamed, about what they call Shema spirituality. Shema spirituality. Now, the Shema is the most important declaration of faith in Judaism. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it's called the Shema after the first word in Hebrew. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. The Shema means hear, hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And then it goes on to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, what did he say? He quoted the same passage, Matthew 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Can you see? Jesus is quoting the Shema. Actually, Alan and Deborah Hirsch, I think, got it. Bang on the button. Jesus explicitly places the Shema at the epicenter of what it means to be a true disciple. To love God, to love others, and to live this out authentically in God's world. So what he's saying is the key to life is a passionate engagement with God, who we know as our Father, as our Savior, and as the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And it's passionate because it engages everything of who we are, or your heart and your soul and your mind or your strength. Okay. It means to love God with everything we have. So if that means, and if that means anything at all, it also needs to be translated into love for his people, loving our neighbors, loving our fellow human beings. So if we're going to be effective human beings and disciples of Jesus, it means we need to focus on his priorities. And, you know, he tells his people, his followers, to pursue God passionately. And he doesn't actually emphasize that we talk about God or serve him or even obey him. He does say, he talks about that in other places. The way he starts is we are to love him and then love his fellow human beings. Do you remember Pete Gregg, who we looked at a lot at the beginning of last year, the subject of prayer? Pete Gregg, who started 24/7 prayer, said this: "The pursuit of the presence of God has been, without exception or exaggeration, the prevailing passion and the common purpose of all the saints in every generation since the time of Christ. Study their lives, and you will quickly discover the universal, all-consuming motivation which fueled everything else. That everything they did was a desire for the presence of God." If you love someone, you want to be in their presence. You want to spend time with them. You want to get to know them. You want them to be part of your life. Which brings us to our verse of the year. Now, for those of you who are new to All Saints, we have a custom, which I discovered somewhat to my surprise when I arrived, that we have given, everyone gets a little bookmark at the beginning of the year with a verse of the year. And last year, I wonder whether anyone can remember last year's verse. Fantastic. Give that man a gold star. "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Well, this year we have a new color, and maybe some of you are ahead of me on this one, actually. The verse, of course, is, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This year, I want us to be even more passionate in our love for God and for who he is and what he is longing for us, and even more passionate in loving those he's placed us amongst. So, you're going to get one of these. I've got them there. And what I want you to do is take them home and put them in your Bibles. You can have more than one if you like. Have one in your Bible, one up on your fridge or in your kitchen cabinet or on your wardrobe door or in your study wall or whatever, you know. Just stick them up and look at it and think, yeah, the Lord wants me to be passionate for him. Passionate. So, the call to discipleship. We're all called to discipleship. And it's the call is to constantly be made more like Jesus. So how did Jesus do it? I think he did it. There were three components. The first is this. He chose people to be with him and to follow him. Mark chapter 3, he appointed 12 that they might be with him, just being with him. When you are with God, when you walk with Jesus, you just become more like him. It just kind of rubs off. That he might send them out to preach. And then Jesus says, come follow me. Come follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. So we're called to follow him, just to be with him. Second, he intends his disciples to become like Jesus. We're meant to look more like him. For example, he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. What they didn't realize was that Jesus would be taking up his cross. We're meant to pick up our cross as well. And then again, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. They didn't realize that shortly afterwards, not only would he be giving his life, but he'd also be taking a bowl and washing their feet. He'd be a servant too. We're meant to be servants. So we're meant to become like Jesus. So, meant to be with him. We're meant to become like him. And then thirdly, Jesus intends his disciples to make new disciples. Matthew 28. I'll read it to you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Good thing is Jesus is not like some absentee landlord, you know. He's with us. He's with us. That's the word for disciple in Greek is mathetes. Mathetes, where we get the word maths or mathematics. And it's a bit like being an apprentice. So we're apprentice to Jesus. He takes us on. He teaches us how to do it. He lets us have a little go. But he's never far away. You know, he's not. He doesn't just leave into it and drop us there. He lets us do the stuff, but he's there with us all the time. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So how are we going to do this in practice? Well, I think we need some help. And it's tempting to think, well, we'll just produce some discipleship course. Actually, I think God has maybe a better idea. And it actually came out of a day I spent with the Lord last November, 22nd November. Those of you who know me well know, I'm not very good at sitting still and being quiet. So if I'm going to do it, I have to just make it a task. What I often do is I go off to Ted and Andrea's. They've got a lovely room at the top of their house, and I'm just kind of quiet up there, really. And then God often does speak to me. And I felt the Lord really spoke to me that day. And I felt best thing to do I can do is just tell you what I believe God said to me and to us. There comes a time in the life of every fellowship that is listening to me when you need to move beyond the comfortable and the comforting to the challenged and the challenging. It is my Holy Spirit who does that. It won't be accomplished by preaching. However enthusiastic and inspired, that's a note to the vicar there. It will be accomplished by my Holy Spirit coming powerfully upon my people and accomplishing such a work in them that they cannot but move out of the comfortable and into the challenging. In that way, they will challenge themselves and those around them, but chiefly they will challenge themselves. They will see clearly what I am seeking from them and longing for them to accomplish in my name, and know that without the power of my Holy Spirit, this can never be accomplished. And then I believe the Lord said this: I want you to challenge one another. I want you to get together in your twos and threes and ask each other, what is God doing in your life? Where is he leading you? What aspects of your life are not yet wholly committed to his will? And then he ended by saying, this is not going to be easy. It's going to be demanding. So that's the first part of the word I felt God gave me. The Holy Spirit wants to challenge us, and he wants us to challenge. He wants to challenge us through each other. So how will that happen? Well, that we need to be building relationships of trust and confidence and accountability and honesty with one another. So we can say, what is God doing in your life? How are you doing? Is that part of your life really submitted to God? I'm not talking about you going up to people who you hardly know and saying, God has just said this. Actually, if you do have a word for somebody in the fellowship, be prepared to share it. But could you have a word with me first? That would be great. Okay. But if you're in a position already of closeness, of accountability and trust, then please do share with one another what God is saying. One of the five marks of membership we have in this church is we aim to be part of a small group or a branch, because you can't be a disciple in isolation. You might say to yourself, well, I've been a Christian for years. I don't need all this. Well, all I'd say is I've been ordained 20 years and I've been a Christian over 40 years and I need people to speak into my life. I need it. The vicar needs it. So, I mean, as most of you know, I've got a small group of people. It's called the Vicar Support Team, and consists of Rick and Mike, the church wardens, Margaret and Ted, who are both ordained, Andrea, and Tim Salk, and their job is to speak into my life and to encourage me when I'm going the right direction and gently rebuke me when I'm going the wrong direction. And I've been here 7 years, and cards on the table, I've not done everything right in the time that I've been here. But I can tell you, but without that group, and it changes from time to time, without that group, I would have done a lot more wrong things than I have done. They've headed me off at the pass time and again. It's fantastic. And what I want is I want each of us to find some people, maybe one or two others, maybe in a larger group, if possible, join a branch, join a small group, a house group. Get alongside each other, share your joys and burdens, challenge each other, pray for each other. Some people are going to say, I do that already, that's great, carry on doing it. Others are going to say, I don't know where to start. In that case, have a word with me or with Margaret Williams, who is our discipleship pastor, and we can help you find a group. So that's the first thing. I think the Lord wants us to challenge each other with this stuff. Got two more particular suggestions. The first is this, that I'm setting up a discipleship group, particularly for those who believe God is leading them to leadership positions inside the church or outside the church. And we're going to be meeting for a year from February half term. And I've already been asking a number of people if they'd like to join with that. So there's a number of people who are going to be there. But if you believe God is calling you to that group, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. The invitation is there. If you'd like to be part of that leadership discipleship group, that would be great. We're probably going to do through the year, part of the year, we're going to be doing probably a course called Growing Leaders, which is produced by the Church Pastoral Aid Society. It's a really good course about leadership, but it's really about discipling one another. And those people are going to be sent out, actually, to start discipling others. Okay. And the second thing is that a few years ago, we did a course called Shape. It's a four-week course. It's designed to enable us to look at where God is calling us. And I went to Uganda in October, and I did a course there to tell the church in Uganda how to run the Shape course. And Vanessa Mulholland was putting the notes together for me, and she wasn't around when we did Shape. She said, this is really good. Why don't we do this? So I thought, yeah, why don't we? So later on this year, there will be an opportunity to do Shape for either those who've never done it or for those who'd like to do it again. It's a great way to find out what God is calling you into, what your God-given calling is, not just in church, but in life. Now, there's just one more part of the word that I wanted to share with you, and it's about the teaching program for the next 4 months. And this is what I felt the Lord say to me about that in November. Listen up. What I want to do is to take you through 10 areas of your life. And as I do so, I want you to be asking, what is the Lord asking of me? This is not going to be an unhealthy introspective exercise. It's going to be an honest appraisal. Where do you stand in these areas? When he was challenged about his life, Martin Luther said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." I want you to challenge each other and then be able to say, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Then I felt God say this. Because it is as you are freed up and released and empowered that you can free up, release and empower others. As you are challenged, you will be able to challenge the principalities and powers. As you are transformed, you'll be empowered to begin transformation. And then remember he said, this is not going to be easy, it's going to be demanding. So the 10 areas of our lives are about priorities, worship, perspective, how we use our time, our family life, our temperament, our relationships, our finances, our language, and our imagination. Now you may just have spotted that these are not new priorities for God because the Lord doesn't change. In fact, they go back over 3,000 years because each one of those is covered by the Ten Commandments. Priorities, no other gods. Worship, we don't worship idols, we only worship him. Perspective, we know who God is. We don't take his name in vain. How do we use our time? We keep the Sabbath holy. What's our family life like? Do we honor our parents? Temperament, Don't murder. Remember, Jesus says we're not to be angry, let alone murder anyone. Relationships, no adultery. Finances, no stealing. Language, no lying. Imagination, what are we thinking about? No coveting. It's all in the preaching program you were given this morning. Spirit-empowered discipleship. What I believe the Lord wants to do is to take us each through each of these areas of our lives. And I don't want us to sit here passively and say, well, that was very interesting. The hard work is to be done maybe after the sermon, after the talk, after the service, or certainly in the ministry time, where we say, Lord, what are you saying? And maybe when we go up to others and say, what is God saying to you? I felt God say this to you. Where do you stand in the way you spend your time? What is your family life like? What are you thinking about? You see? And we used to think about the Ten Commandments as a list of do's and don'ts, aren't we? But actually, when they're viewed in the light of the new covenant and a relationship of God based on grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit, can you see there's a different emphasis here? This is, in effect, a discipleship program. This is covering loads of areas which we need to get right and where the Lord wants us to get right to empower us to become the disciples that Jesus intends us to be. So, from now until, certainly, beginning of May, pretty much, there were various other things happening, but that's where we're going to be going. Now, one last thing to mention. How can we show that we know that we, that, how can we show we love the Lord with all our heart and mind and soul and strength? Well, three people are going to do that on the 25th of March because Ali and Ro and Sam Brooke are going to be baptized, which is fantastic. And it's either going to be Ulwell Swimming Pool or Emmanuel Baptist Church. Hopefully, it's going to be Emmanuel if they can sort that out, because they've got some people who might well be baptized as well. It'd be great to have a joint baptism, but other than that, we'll go to Ulwell. But it's going to be brilliant. So, if you've not been baptized, or you were baptized as a child, or you want to reaffirm your faith by being immersed in the waters of baptism, please come and have a word with me. There's always room for one more, or two more, several more. It would be fantastic. So, as you can hear, I'm really looking forward to 2018, because I really believe the Lord has got some fantastic things for us this year. And I think I'm going to let God have the last word from our verses of the year. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then from the word I believe the Lord gave me for all of us last November. It is as you are freed up and released and empowered that you can free up, release and empower others. As you are challenged, you will be able to challenge the principalities and powers. As you are transformed, you will be empowered to begin transformation. This is not going to be easy. It's going to be demanding. Well, we've had the promise. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be demanding. But I know the people of All Saints, like their vicar, are up for a challenge. So I'm looking forward to seeing what God does. Amen.